Hi, this is Spike Persons from Spike's Car Radio. Here we are again on the porch in Malibu, and I'm here with the great Jeremy Piven. I'm a huge fan of him and his doggy. Is your doggy's name Frenchie?
Bob.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on El Pacifico.
And it's General Galen's show.
And I'm Margaret Gray.
Robert Leonard here.
And I'm Phil Hendry. Welcome to the show. This is the Blessed, Blessed Cassettes?
Yeah, Blessed Cassettes. Miss You, Miss Mew.
Miss You, Miss Mew. It's interesting.
Anyway, welcome to our show, and it is the day after the 4th here. I hope you had a good 4th. We had a wild thing happening here at the beach that it was an absolute mayhem, General, as we had, the rockets, red glare and all that stuff. Well, you know, if you live near a military installation, you might as well kiss it goodbye, any sleep you're going to get or any peace and quiet, because members of our armed services, would myself included when I was active, we're going to celebrate the birthday of this country in style, and that means we're going to blow everything up. Now, excuse me for saying that.
I said blow everything.
I know what I said. We're going to be...
You're going to be lighting all kinds of rockets and...
Everything we've got. I give it everything I've got. All right, well, that's fine and dandy. I'm not even talking about the military guys. I'm just talking about the neighborhood. We had explosions. We had all kinds of blasts.
Yeah, taking out chunks of the street, too, you're saying.
Did they do that again this year, Mr. Henry?
I don't know, man. I didn't venture out as much as I did in years past, but it was nuts and kept on going. See, the thing of it is it bugs the animals.
Well, that is unfortunate when the dogs and the cats are chased under the sofas and things like that by the explosive noises and everything. We don't see the reason why I'm not relating because we don't have that where we live in Santa Monica. It's much better regulated.
Well, it's supposed to be regulated. I live in Ventura County.
Oh, good luck.
What do you mean, good luck? They've got some of the most stringent anti-fireworks laws on the books in Ventura County you've ever heard of in your life.
Yeah, but they don't enforce it up there because they haven't got the, you know, they don't have the wheels, man. You can say all you want, do all you want. You can be all you can be.
Yeah, if you don't have the cops on the street, man.
Gotta have the cops on the beat. That's all there is to it.
Oh, you gotta have the cops on the beat. Is that it?
Margaret, why do you think they,
You know, you almost broke your glasses by jamming them into your ear.
Yeah, I saw that.
Pardon me. Don't you think they have a lot of cops on the beat there in Santa Monica?
Yes, they do. What's your point?
You were mocking the whole cops on the beat thing.
Well, the thing of it is, in Santa Monica, I think the people are a bit more responsible. I'm not saying that you have a class of people there up the coast that perhaps is not as well-groomed, well-schooled. They're not groomed. And so they're going to blow things up. I don't know.
What does being groomed have to do with it?
If you're looking your best...
Yeah, if you're looking your best, you're going to feel your best.
You don't want to blow yourself up, I guess.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
That's what you said. You said grooming.
Oh, I said grooming, you're right. I think that if you're groomed and your slacks, everything you're wearing...
Yeah, you don't want to blow a lot of...
I didn't say blow a lot of, did I?
Phil, you're going down that road.
You don't want to blow a lot of fireworks off, is what I'm saying.
Yes, but then... Never mind, you don't...
Margaret, I think the point you're making is a little weird if you're well-groomed.
You know what I'm saying.
Well, what are you saying?
You know what I'm saying.
No, we don't. We do not understand.
Yes, you do.
No, you do. No.
Yes, you do.
No, you do. I mean, no, I do.
No, no, I do. What is up with this? You know something, Phil? Have you gone in yet? Have you had a full x-ray? Just what's in the skull? Because there might be only a partial brain.
Well, I'm talking about you saying that if you're well-groomed...
I said what I said, and that's all I'm going to say.
Thank you. Welcome to our program. If you're well-groomed...
Oh, Phil, give it a rest.
No, if you're well-groomed, you won't explode a lot of fireworks.
That's my feeling, yes.
And you're sticking with it?
Yes.
All right. Welcome to our show. Thank you for helping me make that point, because I didn't make it. I wanted to make a point about how it was nuts, and they ought to... If they're going to have fireworks rules and regulations and laws, Jack, they ought to enforce them. Or just stay home.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of manpower that they're going to have to put on the street that they need elsewhere.
Oh, get a load of you. Aren't you interesting? What are you, all of a sudden an expert on police men?
Margaret, if the guy wants to talk about it.
It bothers me that he knows more about it than me.
Yeah, well, I do, because I study in it and everything.
Woo!
All right.
Coming up on the program today, folks, we're going to be visiting with Bobby Dooley. Actually, Ted Bell is going to be on to talk about some new slogans, some reworking of the Teds of Beverly Hills slogan. This is the time of year when they generally are with their ad agency. You know, we want to put our meat in your mouth. They're trying to improve upon that. Stephen Bozell.
Trying to improve on how do you possibly improve on what's perfect? We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Yeah, I think it is vulgar, and it's time that they do change it.
As Stephen Bozell will be with us. Steve was playing golf with some friends of mine at the pre-boot bang. See, every year they have the old boot tournament, and then they have a thing on the 4th called the pre-boot tournament bang. The bang being, you know, like fireworks.
Yes, like, in other words, what you were trying to say about blowing, only it was a firework.
Yeah, well, what?
Well, how well do they play golf is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, they blow at golf.
Well, they're blowing something.
Anyway, these are my friends.
Yes, Phil.
And they're playing golf. Steve Bozell played with them and got into a little bit of a controversy. We'll talk with him about that. And then Bobby Dooley will be on to talk about her favorite slogan, which is, a word out of place can be the difference between saving face or a disgrace. Do you know what this is about, Robert?
Yeah, she's talking about how if you don't put the right word in the right place, apparently in her house they call a bologna sandwich bolognese. They call it a what? They call it bolognese.
They call it a bologna sandwich.
No, they call, if you want to have a bologna sandwich, they say, how about some bolognese?
How about some bologna? Why do you keep having this woman on? All right, we'll be talking with her.
Yeah, also they call her a bologna. Like, can I have my bologna, that thing.
Well, what has that got to do with what she's coming on the program for?
Just going to say that if you say it any other way, it's crude.
What?
Yeah, saying bologna sandwich or bologna sandwich or bologna sandwich doesn't sound as good as saying, let's get it going with bologna.
Yeah, right.
I swear to God.
She said that.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear that one, man. That's coming up later here on the Phil Hendry Show. All right, but first, let's go out to the traffic here with Bob Bacon. Bob?
Philly, I'm about to run around the July 12th weekend. We have, Gene, there's a traffic going up the Piper Freeway to get out there around the Humpty, and it's going to be Humpty Dumpty all the way on the end of Pasadena Friends, where they don't have anything there. They won't have it there, as you know. The Royal Seiko is headed down there to downtown, going to the Chinatown. There's a Chinaman out there. Let's say hello to the Chinaman as you go right through and going on down through the downtown area. You can probably have a pile up there and a mix-up. Be a pile up and a mix-up somewhere in the downtown area, the downtown. Just going downtown, ground round. Going out there to Skyboy.
I'm on the west side, and I'm down there looking pretty smooth. And coming on down out of the glades, and I'm just moving on up over the Bootland Highway and going up to Boot Hill and Maturin and the Maternity. Going down 10th Street, same day as area. Five down the lane. Go to Sky, baby.
I gotta go wee wee.
Hey-o. Boy, Sky Baby, sweet hair. He's my main man, you know. Help.
Sam Duckett reporting. All over America, they're running to Burtabees to get recliners, to get sofas, to get mattresses, and to get wonderful easy chairs. It's easy peasy financing. All you do is put your name on the bottom line, and you've got it. You've got yourself a recliner, a mattress, a sofa, or an easy peasy recliner from Burtabees. Tell them Sam Duckett sent you. Sam Duckett here, and they're running to Burtabees. 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 The sale goes on through Sunday at Burtabees in the Glown.
Tacos, enchiladas, enchilones, Laddie, manure, and patin. That's right. A brand new dish called La Manure. Only at Baleonos.
Baleonos with the finest Mexican food. Serving lunch and dinner daily. Now, try the new La Manura.
La Manura. We can name our food anything we want to because it tastes so devastatingly good. In fact, our wonderful, wonderful beer is called urine. Que otro caballo cualquiera.
No, I won't.
What does that mean, go away?
Well, three guesses.
All right, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. No, we won't go away. We're going to stay here and finish this out as best as we know how. What do you say we talk to our good buddy there, Ted Bell, man? Let's do it, baby. Yeah.
I heard some of the
Ted's here. Of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, let me tell you what
Come on down to Tens of Beverly Hills. You know, the All-Star Game is coming up next Tuesday. The All-Star Game. It's some baseball, that's it, right?
That's it.
Yeah, it's baseball, the All-Star Game. We'll have it in the prime rib room. Come on, look at it.
So the All-Star Game, huh?
Doesn't sound like you're all that interested in it there, Bill.
I mean, it doesn't sound like I'm all that interested in it. Of course I'm interested in it. The All-Star Game, the baseball All-Star Game?
Oh, yeah, you're going on with the All-Star Game. Yeah, that's right.
Because I'm in a hurry to get in here. You know, every time Phil introduces me, it's a fast and furious race to get here to the telephone because I'm glad-handed going table to table. But I'm happy to be here, Phil, and I'm happy to discuss with you something that I think is going to be very exciting, and that is the retooling of the Tens of Beverly Hills advertising slogan for the coming 2017-2018 season.
Now, Ted, how often have you changed? You only have had this one slogan for many years, right?
We've had the, yeah, we want to put our meat in your mouth. We've had it for about 21 years, and it has served us well. But we always like to retool it. We get suggestions, and I could run them by you. I could run them by your listeners. We want to put our meat in your mouth. Someone wanted to pluralize that, and I like that. I like it a lot because what I'm saying then is we want to put our meat in your mouth, meaning there's more than one of you. All right? Are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here. I think I'm a little bit stunned. You want to say that, huh?
See, Ted, can I say something?
All right, let's keep the criticism to a minimum.
No, that's what I'll do. We want to put our meat in your mouths is, I think it's extending an already, and you know how I feel about your slogan. I like it, but it does verge on the tasteless.
All right, well, Margaret, I'm not here to discuss whether it's tasteful or tasteless. I think we are all agreed that this is the slogan for Ted's of Beverly Hills.
That's true, Ted. I mean, Margaret, with all due respect, why try to relitigate that?
I'm not relitigating, but I'm saying I want to put my meat in your mouth.
No, we want to put... Oh, man.
I'm sorry. We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Are you talking about me?
She's talking about your slogan.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Yes.
All right. I think it's fine where it is. If you are trying to improve upon it, I don't think you can.
Yeah, well, what she's saying is, don't do anything with it because it's already bad enough.
Well, that's my sense. That's what I sense.
No, that is not true.
No, I sense that, Ms. Gray, that you want to keep it the way it is. See...
I don't want to... I agree with Ted. Let's not litigate this thing.
All right, then here's one. We want to put our meat... In here's one that I think Frank liked. We must put our meat in your mouth.
We must put our meat in your mouth.
Now that I like.
You do.
Oh, you don't?
Yeah. Come on, my mouth sounds almost like you're forcing it down.
We're not forcing anything down anyone's throat. Is that what you guys always want to turn this into something that's violent, that invades the free will of the people that are coming here? I like it because it says we really have a great product.
See, I know you want to look at this, Ted.
Well, hold on for a minute. I told you, I don't want to entertain any filth or any thoughts of filth.
All right, well, then when you say, the slogan that Margaret just gave you, we must put our meat in your mouth, and you don't think of that in terms of filth.
No, I do not. No, I do not, because I don't have that kind of a mind.
All right, so what do you think of that?
I like it a lot.
See, Fred, that was Frank's idea. We must put our meat in your mouth, or we simply must get it into your mouth. We simply must get our meat into your mouth.
Well, which is it?
Well, that was Frank's, if I don't know if you've got Frank on the phone.
I've got to try to get him on the line.
Get Frank on the line, because that was his idea.
So far we want to put our meat in your mouths, plural.
That's right.
Or we simply must get our meat into your mouth.
Or how about pluralizing that? See, I would like that.
Yeah, Mr. Bray, we're in line two right now. We want to talk to him.
Say that again, bud.
Yeah, I didn't hear it.
We got Mr. Gray over in line two.
Oh, Frank Gray on the phone with us. Frank, how you doing?
Hey, I'm better than Custy, young man. How are you?
Hey, Frank, it's Ted Bell.
Hey.
What do you think about... Margaret was telling me about your idea for we want to get the meat...
Oh, no, my idea was we simply must get our meat into all of your mouths.
I didn't know that you pluralized it like that, Frank.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, see, if you're Ted Bell, and you're standing there, and you have some of the greatest meat that money can buy, and Ted says to any odd person, she says, hey, welcome to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I've got to get my meat into your mouths. How many of you are there? And they say, oh, it's a table of four. You got it. And then she moves them on down to their table, and she, you know, glad hands it. That's what you do, Ted, right?
Well, yeah, I stand at the table, I say hello to people, things like that, yeah.
All right. So you say, your waitress is on his way, and he'll be here in a minute. He's the one wearing the little pink dress or whatever you say. But I, as far as I'm concerned, I've got to get my meat into your mouths.
Now, I like that. What about meats, plural?
You know, can I interject something right now?
No, you may not. What about meats, plural?
Okay, that's good. You say, we simply must get our meats, all of our delectable meats, into your mouths as fast as possible. Thank you very much. And then you wheel about and retreat into the kitchen where you're never seen again, because you want to make sure that the family have the finest in meats.
Right, exactly. Exactly my point.
Well, is that exactly your point?
Yes, exactly my point.
All right. So, Frank, this is General Shaw. You're saying that you simply must...
General, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right, what we're saying is, I'm saying that she needs to say to the family as it's coming into the restaurant, and she says it to the father. She says to her, hey, I had better get my meat into your mouth or know the reason why.
Well, that's slightly different.
Oh, I think essentially the point is the same.
Well, all right, now, you did change it a little bit there.
But I like it even better. Say, I simply must get my meat into your mouth, and I mean now, or know the reason why.
What is it? Can I ask a question here?
Hey, listen to Phil. Every time she gets upset, she goes,
what is it?
What do you want, Phil?
You know, Frank, that isn't necessary.
What do you want, Phil?
All right, here's what I want. I want to know, honestly, you guys are taking a pretty good little slogan that is, it's in a jingle, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and now we simply must get all of our meats into your mouth.
Oh, for Christ's sake, is she laughing?
Yeah, she is. I mean, he is. Frank, give me that again one more time.
Are you writing it down, for Christ's sake?
Yes, I am.
We simply must get all of our meats, the collection of our meats, into your mouths, or know the reason why. Thank you. I'm Ted Bell. Then you wheel about.
I wheel about.
And retreat into the kitchen, never to be seen by that family again in that evening. Of course, you'll see them again if they come back, but they'll probably ask, Ted Bell was wonderful. Is she here tonight? And the waitress, he'll probably say, well, she was, but she's retreated.
All right. Okay, I got it. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Frank.
Frank, I want to talk to you later on about this.
Oh, for Christ on a crutch.
Frank Gray on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk here with Ted Bell about his advertising slogan. Of course, you know the jingle slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth. So there's that slogan. What else, Ted?
All right, we had one that was, I felt, we want to put our meat in your mouth. We want to get our meat into your mouth. We want to put our meats in your mouths, pluralizing that. I want to get my meat and all of our meats into your mouths, and that personalizes it a little bit. I'm Ted Bell, and what I wouldn't give to get my meat into your mouth fast. You see what I'm saying?
And you don't hear in that...
Don't do it, Phil. Don't give me that... I spent a lot of money and a lot of research on this slogan. It works for Ted's Beverly Hills. The more you talk about it being inappropriate...
Well, come on, Bell. You don't understand. When you hear that...
No, when I hear that, I'm a father and a husband, okay? A father and a husband. You think I'm going to hear these grotesqueries that you're talking about? Huh?
Well, Ted...
Do you think I'm going to hear these...
Grotesqueries.
Right. You think I'll hear that?
I think that if you keep pushing the point, yeah, you will.
Well, I haven't heard it yet.
All right, so give us the last one.
Well, it's not the last one. It's just one of many. I, Ted Bell, me personally, I got to get my meat in your mouth. Oh, man, the things I would do. You see? And
the things you would do.
Yes, that's right. Clean it up, Phil, because, you know, no one's on your side on this one.
But, Ted, when you say, I, Ted Bell, I simply must get my meat in your mouth and the things I would do, what does that mean exactly?
The things I would do with that meat in its preparation before I got it into your mouth.
Yeah, but you're not saying that.
What?
You're saying, I, Ted Bell, I gotta get my meat in your mouth, the things I would do.
Right. I gotta get my meat in your mouth, the things I would do with that meat in preparation to get it into your mouth. You think I ought to flip it around?
Yeah, you at least ought to put the cart before the, or put the horse before the cart, I should say. Say, I, Ted Bell.
All right, here. I, Ted Bell, I've got my meat, I'm getting it ready, and when it's ready, man, it's going in your mouth, whether you like it or not. What is your problem?
Why would you say that?
Say what?
Whether you like it or not.
It's a way of saying, yes, of course they're going to like it.
Yeah, but it sounds like you're going to force the meat in.
I'm going to force the what in?
The meat, man, the meat.
Right, that's what I want to do. I'm going to force it in there. I'm going to jam it in there, man.
Why would you jam it in or force it in?
Because it is so delicious, so good, so absolutely tender, so made with such loving care, so seasoned properly, that it has to get into your mouth. Now, you may not be ready. You ordered it, yes, but you may want to wait while you finish your drink. No, you can't. I'm putting my meat in your mouth before you're finished with your drink.
And that's what you mean by forcing it in?
Yes.
And suppose they don't want to eat the meat before they finish their drink.
All right, well, it's, you know. But what I'm saying is, I'm Ted Bell. That my meat's going in your mouth before you finish that drink. How do you feel about that? Oh, yeah. You know, that's part of the advertising slogan, Phil. I'm not saying that at the table.
Well, the way you were talking about it, you was, especially with Gray there, it sounded like you would.
These are things that are going on the billboard.
Yeah, going on the billboard, yes. Give it a break, will you?
Give it a break. We're talking to Ted Bell.
Yeah, give it a break.
Talking to Ted Bell from Tents of Beverly Hills about the advertising slogan that he's used all these years, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And it's, you know, it's a controversial line. It's one that has been discussed over time. Let's go to a phone call here. We got Roy in Pacoima. Hi, Roy. You're on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What's going on?
I want to talk to Mr. Bell because I had been at your restaurant about a month ago. Is this Bell?
Yeah, it's Ted Bell, yeah.
Okay. I've been at your restaurant about a month ago, and I had sat down, and I'd ordered the pork chop, and you had a pork chop with that's kind of an applesauce, that right?
Yeah, we do. We have the pork chop. We call that the Salem pork chop, the Massachusetts pork chop with delicious mint sauces, or with the alabaster sauce.
All right, and I was looking forward to that, and then you had come over and said, I can see that my meat's going into your mouth.
That's right. I usually say that when the tables, when they first deliver the food, right.
Okay. In the succeeding weeks, I start having dreams. And sometimes I'll take a nap and I have a dream. I had a beautiful, beautiful dream about my wife and I going on vacation and running along a beach and seeing sea lions and whales. And then I woke up and the radio's on and I hear, yeah, I can see my meat slipping into your mouth. And then I remembered the reality of it.
Did he say this to you at the restaurant, sir?
Yeah, see, who's this?
This is Margaret Gray.
Oh, I'm sorry terribly. Yeah, he said it at the restaurant. And then I tried to put it out of my mind, and I went home, and I took a nap, and I saw my wife and I running on a beach.
Yes, you saw yourselves running on a beach. You saw the whales and the mermaids.
Right. The whales and the mermaids and the sardines were leaping through, or whatever they're called.
What do you mean, sardines?
I mean, the dolphins. And then I wake up and I hear, hey, I see that my meat's, boy, look at that, I can't wait to get my meat up in your mouth. And I felt as if I was in hell. I felt as if I'd entered the gates of hell. And from that point forward, it was hell-like. And my son would come into the room, I'd say, there goes Hellboy. All of it was bent and wicked. And I think everyone deserves an apology, Mr. Bell, from you for what you are and what you is. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. Whatever you say there, Roy. And thanks for eating at our place. You coming back?
Oh, yeah. My birthday is next week. I'd like to make a reservation.
There goes Roy, I think, from Pacoima here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking to Ted Bell about his slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Are you going to change this?
Yes. Is this going to be changed on the billboard, Ted, or not? What's going to be happening with that?
Well, what's going to be happening is, yeah, we're going to change it on the billboard. What we want to do is, as you know, we have the billboard there right over Sunset. It's Sunset and 405, Phil, right?
Yeah.
All right. So what we want to do is we have the same big picture of me as I'm looking down on the motorists, and I have a platter in my hand, and you've got the big, steaming, sizzling Kansas City steak, okay? And there I am with my glasses and my earring.
Yeah, you know, that earring, man.
Whoa. A lot of guys can't pull it off. I do. And I'm 50. I'm Ted Bell.
Hey!
Thank you. Now, I'm looking down.
Yeah, you pull it off all right.
And I look. Oh, did you hear that, Phil?
I did. Let's just ignore it, will you?
And I'm looking down, and there's the platter, and the slogan will see, "My meat's arrived. It's going into your mouth, whether you like it or not." I'm Ted Bell. What an asshole.
What are you laughing at, Phil?
What am I laughing at?
What an asshole.
Hey, Ted.
Oh, no. This is a bought and paid for commercial time, and I give you the slogan that we're going to be using, and you're ha, ha, ha.
I don't think I laughed like that.
That's the way it sounded to me.
I think, Ted, that if it doesn't provoke laughter or mirth, it is a shocking, shocking slogan.
Yeah, but Bill, I don't know. Just to me, it's way too suggestive.
That's because you people have garbage between your ears. This is what I'm trying to tell you. And what I've been trying to tell you for years, you've got garbage between your ears.
Ted.
Between your ears.
Ted, I'm telling. Go ahead, lay it on me one more time.
Lay what on you?
What's on the billboard?
The billboard has a big picture of me. It's the one over there, the 405 and Sunset.
Yes.
And there's a big picture. I'm looking down on the motorists. It says, Ted's of Beverly Hills, the big picture of me. And in front of me, on my hand, is a platter with sizzling Kansas City steaks. And the slogan, it used to say, we want to put our meat in your mouth, as you know. Now it's going to say, my meat's arrived, and it's going into your mouth, whether you like it or not. What a dick and a half, man. You know, I'm going to pull my advertising.
I'm sorry, Ted. I didn't mean to.
Oh, yeah, you didn't mean to.
Look, Phil's laughing, but I'm telling you, it sounds assaultive. It sounds aggressive.
Then why is Phil laughing?
Because mostly it's funny.
What do you mean it's funny? To quote Joe Pesci in that movie, remember the movie where the guy was,
Am I funny to you? Do I amuse you?
Yeah, that's so bitching.
Right. Am I funny to you? Am I a clown? Am I here to amuse you?
Yeah, it sounds like it to me.
Really? So I am?
Yeah.
I am a clown.
Yeah.
Well,
you're supposed to kill him or something. At least that's what Pesci would do.
I'm saying to you, Phil, it's a slogan that we tested. People like it.
So you tested the slogan, my meat's arrived and it's going into your mouth whether you like it or not.
Yes.
Phil.
Ted, good luck with that.
Yeah, I know you don't mean it.
I do mean it. Good luck with that. And, we're waiting for that billboard to...
When I see that billboard, I'll tell you what. If you've got the guts to put that billboard up, I'm coming directly to your place and ordering a 5-course meal, starting with your most expensive steak, which I know is the Porterhouse for Four.
You got that. All right, General, you're on. You come to my restaurant and order the Porterhouse for Four, and it'll only be you eating, right?
That's right.
Brother, the Teds are on me, all right.
God, are you kidding me, man? You got free Teds and everything?
That's what I like to hear.
The Teds are on me.
So if you get that billboard up...
You heard me. Only I'm not giving you that deal because you led the charge making fun of it. The General, at least he held his judgment off. So he gets the free steak, you don't get nothing.
What a punk kid, man, I swear to God.
You don't get anything.
All right, Ted.
Yeah. Ted's in Beverly Hills, so my meat's here. Open up, it's coming in, whether you like it or not.
Well, now you've changed it a little bit.
Well, it's got to fit the billboard. Okay, that's the only, that's the one proviso, it's got to fit the billboard. I'm Ted Bell, folks.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
We like to say around here, it's got to fit the billboard. I hope my meat does fit the billboard. Huh? Huh? All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. We want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right.
Yeah, Ted, thanks very much. Ted Bell here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And the billboard, his meat better fit in that thing.
Be right back here with Stephen Bozell and the 4th of July golfing outing that he took with my buddies down in Newport Beach.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show for the El Pacifico in Southern California. This is General Galen Shaw speaking.
Hey, yay!
Hi, I'm just an average guy with average tastes. That's why I like Jungle Jack's stew in a can. That's Jungle Jack's S-T-U in a can. No, it is stew, but we call it stew, as in the guy's name, Stew. It kind of creeps people out. Most people avoid it because they think there's some kind of a cannibalism thing going on. But the people that do have the guts to buy it enjoy the finest stew in a can that they've ever had. That's Jungle Jack's stew, S-T-U, in a can. Named after the company's founder, Stew Fitzgibbon. Jungle Jack's stew in a can. Stew on that.
When I found the best razor blade that money could buy, I couldn't believe it. It shaves me slick and clean, shaves me all over, so that when I run in the 10Ks, the 26Ks, there is no wind resistance whatsoever. There's no body hair. There's nothing. I'm slick, I'm clean, I'm bald, I'm hairless. I slip my way right on down the thoroughfare. I look like something from another planet. No eyebrows, no hair. Jesus.
Women will scream when you use the new Slick. That's Slick Razor.
The Slick Razor and Injecta Blade.
By Slick.
Famous Phil Enby Show. Don't forget we have our Friday night chat coming up on Friday at 9 o'clock Pacific time. Join Phil and the rest of the BSPs in our Friday night chat at 9 o'clock till 10 right here at philenbyshow.com.
Now back to Phil Henry.
Steve Bozell from the Pre-Boot Bang. Now, I used to golf in the Pre-Boot Bang, but I haven't been to it in quite some time, and Steve's joining us on our newsmaker line to talk about that. You know, the Pre-Boot Bang was a golf tournament that was formed, or founded, I should say, about maybe 30-plus years ago, right after we founded the tournament.
What is this old boot tournament, anyway?
It's just a tournament that friends of mine from high school play in. We get anywhere from 20 to 30 guys. It's not a big tournament, but it is a long-standing tradition. Now they have one on the 4th of July, which has been going on almost as long. And they invited Steve down to play in this thing, and we're going to talk with him right now about that from Corona, California. Steve, how'd it go?
Well, Bill, I thought it went very well. We had some controversy that I probably want to work out with you, but the guys were, they're not the best golfers in the world. I was showing them little things that I know how to do.
You're a good golfer, huh, Steve?
Yeah, I am a very good golfer. You sounded like you were surprised. You went, you're.
Yeah, it sounded like that, General.
Yeah, you're all like, you're.
Yeah, what's the problem? I got no problem, Mr. Bozell. I just, I was shocked to hear that you do something well.
Yeah, see, I knew right there.
All right, gentlemen, let's not start off this way.
Exactly. All right. So let's just be friends here. So you were in the tournament, Steve.
That's right.
And how did you finish?
Well, that's what I want to tell you about, because I golf very, very well, but your friends, these guys that have this tournament, were kind of making it, I don't know what their problem was. Maybe you told them, or maybe it was a joke or something, but they don't get really how golf, I mean, is that possible?
They don't get how golf what?
They don't get how it's scored, because they were not giving me shots that I should have had. In other words, they were, giving me too many strokes. At one point, they were trying to throw me off a little psychologically, which I thought, golf is a game where you are quiet during the shots, and then you go ahead and then you shoot,
Yeah, they do that as a courtesy.
Right, but I did not see that.
Are you saying that the guys you were golfing with...
Yeah, friends of yours.
All right, my friends were talking in the middle of your shot?
Well, no, that's not what the rule says, that you cannot... Basically, the rule says you can't do anything that is going to interfere with the concentration of the golfer while he's, in the shot process. And that's anywhere from checking out the shot to, making the shot and so on.
What did they do exactly?
Well, there was, what they did was basically this. I had hit into a water hazard. And I had asked I asked Mr. Olander.
Now, who were you golfing with?
Well, I was out there with Olander. I was out there with Carm Parikh. I was out there with Carter Voges. I was out there with Mike Keyes. Keith Brown, bunch of guys from guys that you know.
Right. And you asked Olander?
I asked Mr. Olander. I said, okay, I just went in a water hazard. What should I do? He said, and actually he was on the other side of the hazard, so I had to yell it. I mean, in a water hazard, what should I do? And he yelled back, pull it out at point of entry, one stroke penalty. And then I heard Mr. Voges go, and when he said that, pull it out at point of entry, take a drop at point of entry, one stroke penalty. And as I was doing, I heard Mr. Voges yelled across, that's what she said. And that, see right there.
Well, that's a joke.
Well, it may be a joke, but that I was in the process of dropping the ball and getting ready, and he goes, that's what she said. And now I had to back away from the shot and go, God damn, because
it messed with your mind.
It did. It messed with my mind.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, though.
But that's the... I guess it's funny to you, Dickman, because your mind is shriveled up or something.
All right, let's keep this thing friendly.
But see, he doesn't understand.
Well, what? So they said this. Were you in the middle of your backswing?
Are you a golfer, General?
I'm not necessarily a golfer, but I do know the rules of golf. Were you attempting a backswing?
I was setting up to get ready for it. And he's...
Well, wait a minute. When you asked... The ball went in the water. What should I do? That's before you pulled the ball out of there. You took the drop, right?
That's right.
So then you didn't even take the drop until you found out what you're supposed to do.
Right. What happened was, I said I went in the water. What should I do? Pull it out of point of entry. One stroke penalty. And I hear that's what she said.
Oh, so you hadn't even set the shot up yet.
Well, no, I hadn't set the shot up yet, but it was reverberating in my mind as I then. Tried to do it, you know.
It was reverberating in your mind.
Yes. So I'm thinking about that's what she said, and I'm putting the ball down. That's what she said. Boy, isn't that a smart ass? That's all messing my mind up. So that was an example right there.
Steve, I don't think that that's a violation of the rules.
Well, I think you got that wrong because it messed me up. I'm thinking about that's what she said, that's what she said.
Yes, but it wasn't in the middle of the shot.
No, wait. You, Ms. Gray, do you play golf?
I don't have to play golf. I'm listening to what you guys are saying, and it makes sense to me that the interference comes when you're in the middle of a backswing or you're attempting the shot.
Yeah, you weren't even swinging yet.
Get a load of these. You people don't even play golf. So,
what do you mean, you people?
Well, I didn't mean you people. But I mean, not a lot of black people.
Don't go down that road, okay? There's plenty of black golfers. You weren't in the middle of the shot. You were putting the ball down on the turf, and you're thinking about that's what she said.
Right.
And you're saying that's messing you up.
It was in my mind. What am I supposed to do?
Get it out of your mind, Jack. You see the ball, you hit the club. Now you're ready to, you know, hit the ball. Nobody's talking. Nobody's saying anything. That's not a violation of the rules.
Well, in my opinion, it is. And I'm pretty damn sure in the rule book, when you go, hey, yeah, that's what she said. And I'm thinking about that going, thanks a lot. And now I'm trying to set up and it's bugging me and bugging me and bugging me.
All right, what kind of a shot did you get off?
I hit the green, but that's not the point. The point is, I had to overcome the being bugged, you know?
You hit the green, so you hit it from the edge of the lake right onto the green, huh? Where were you lying?
I was lying three.
And what was the par of the hole?
Five.
You're lying three? You're about to get a birdie?
That's got nothing to do with it, I'm trying to tell you.
Did you get the birdie?
Yes, I did, God...
All right, you know, Steve, we've discussed this long enough. What other problems did you have with the rule book?
No, I don't think we have discussed this because I knew you'd say that because I birdied the hole. Now you're telling me, well, I've got no cause. You know, I would have eagled it. Forget it.
Yeah, forget it. What else? You know what? Did you wind up winning the round?
In my mind, I did because I had a great score. And when I hit my drive...
Yeah, you told him that he lost the ball. How many balls you lose? They said you lost four.
Who are you talking to?
I was talking to Mr. Owen. Said that you lost four balls.
I lost four balls on the fairway that were not lost at all because I hit the shot beautiful.
You lost four balls on the fairway. What happened?
On the frameway.
On the fairway?
Yeah. Well, what happened was I hit a drive that was so beautiful. It was beautiful. You should have been there, Mr. Henry. I swear to Almighty God, it was beautiful. It was right down the pipe, right down the middle of the fairway. No dog leg. Just right down. It's like a 403-yard par four. And it was a beautiful shot. Man, that thing would have tucked right up onto the green. I go down the fairway. I can't find it. So I go, well, you guys know as well as I do, I hit a sweet shot. So I drop the ball. I go, let's just say I'm lying one. And all of a sudden, I hear this screaming and crying.
You can't do that, man.
Says who?
Says the rules, Jack. If you lose the ball...
You had to have seen the shot. It was perfect.
You're saying you hit a perfect shot, so it shouldn't have been lost.
It should not have been lost, right.
Then why didn't you find it?
Oh, man.
No, Steve, that doesn't count.
I couldn't find it because I think, personally, someone picked it up. Because there was a foursome on the fairway opposite me, and there was another foursome on the green... On a 13th green, which is right next to the fairway. Somebody, I swear, someone picked it up or someone hit it because they thought it was their ball. Because I hit a perfect shot.
So you decided that you would just be lying one?
Yes, I did. Now that's where the controversy comes in because these guys said that I lost by something like 10 strokes I didn't even place in the top three. I was like fourth or fifth. And I said to them, oh, my God, you know as well as I do I should have won if you'd given me all those strokes, but they wouldn't do it.
All right, so in other words, you played a really crap can round. You lost a lot of balls. You lost by 10, 15 strokes, but you think you should have won because those balls weren't lost at all. Somebody hit them.
That's right. Someone came along and hit them. And you can be as cynical as you... God, I can't even breathe.
You know, Steve, I've heard you talk a little bit about golf in the past. You really feel that in many instances you play a fantastic game, and it's just this terrible luck, almost as if you're being followed by gremlins or something.
Gremlins.
All right, please.
As if you're being followed by gremlins, and...
I'm not being followed by gremlins. I'm telling you true, and I'm telling you sweet, that when I hit the ball... You can talk to Mr. Olin if you want to. I hit another one down the... You know that 13th hole, Mr. Henry, that goes right down the side of Brookside?
Yeah.
Okay. I hit that thing so sweet and so good, and I could see it, and everybody went... Everybody said, wow, man, what a great shot, what a great shot, what a great shot. One guy said, I think you might have hooked into the wash. And I'm like, give me a break. Everyone else said it was great.
One guy said it might have hooked into the wash.
Yeah, one guy out of five guys that were there... When we go down...
Did you find the ball?
Yeah, you probably found it in the wash, huh?
Hold on. I didn't have to look in the wash, because I knew exactly where it landed. When I got down to the spot where it landed, it had been hit by another person.
How do you know? Did you see it happen?
I'm pretty damn sure I knew who it was.
So you saw a guy approach your ball and hit it?
No, I didn't see him, but I know the guy, because I know the type of guy, and I saw him...
Yeah! Yo, this is wrong, man. You're just making all this stuff up.
I'm not making it up. I play golf with my son. We play down at Playalinga all the time. And I'm hitting beautiful drive after beautiful drive. And my son's there. He's witnessed it day after day, day in, day out. And he could talk to you right now on the phone. Hey, Steve Jr., I got my son right here, Mr. Henry.
Okay.
Steve?
Yeah?
Talk to Mr. Henry.
Oh, yes, sir.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
I'm fine.
And is your dad a good golfer?
He's pretty good, except so a lot of times he drops the ball.
Okay, I'll take the phone.
What are you doing?
Take the phone back.
You dropped the ball.
Your dad.
We take the phone away.
He takes the ball out of the bag and drops it.
Come on, Steve, go. That's a lie. That's a dirty lie.
So you take the ball out of the bag and you drop it. And what do you say? Oh, wow, look at this. What a great drive.
No, that's where the ball landed. Some sucker come along and hit it. Man.
I think that what you had was a passable round. You lost. You lost by a number of strokes. And you feel you should have won because you feel cheating should carry the day.
No, I don't feel cheating. Oh, man.
Yes, you think people who cheat should win.
I wasn't cheating. I'm telling you. What do you call it, Mr. Andrew? When you hit a drive right down the middle of the fairway, it is a beautiful, gorgeous drive. It's right...
Yeah, right down the middle of the fairway, a beautiful, gorgeous drive. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the ball isn't there. So you assume some sucker came along and hit it because it was so beautiful.
That's exactly right.
And, Steve, you followed the flight of the ball the whole way?
What do you mean I followed it the whole way? I mean, you're talking about a ball that comes off a tee pretty damn fast.
If you're certain the ball was right in the middle of the fairway...
I follow it as far as I can, and then I lost it behind a tree, but I know which way the fairway goes. So I flew the tree and hit the fairway.
Maybe you flew the tree, or maybe you didn't. Maybe it hit the rough. Anyway, Steve, that was the word I got from the guys. They said that you lost by quite a number of strokes and that you were bending the rules.
No, I wasn't bending the rules. And I can tell you something else. These guys that you golf with, that whole thing about that's what she said, one stroke penalty, pull it out at point of entry. You know, my son... could have been with me. He wasn't, but he could have been. Did you hear that, Steve? Steve Jr.?
Yeah, but I wasn't there, Dad.
But you could have been there when they said pull it out at point of entry.
All right, Steve. Congratulations. Nice try. It ain't going to fly. Steve Bozell from the pre-boot bang to you, giving us an update there, folks, on this marvelous summertime tournament. And, I hit a great shot, you know. I swear, that was a fantastic... Somebody must have come along and hit it. That's the only thing that could have happened to that ball, because it was right down the middle of the fairway. So you know all of the excuses, huh? Pretty much, yeah. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, this is Steve Bozell. I hope you'll join me at the first annual Steve Bozell Invitational Golf Tournament. It's going to take place the first week in August. It'll be at Playalinga, the same place where they had the pre-boot bang, only this time we'll have rules, regulations, we'll have marshals, we'll have drink carts. It's going to be a great tournament, and it will be played according to the rules. And when you hit a sweet shot like I did at the pre-boot bang, and no one wants to say anything or give you any credit for anything, and you just stand there alone in front of the whole world, just throwing up your hands and going, God damn, man. It won't happen at the Steve Bozell Invitational at Playalinga. The Steve Bozell Invitational, the first annual at Playalinga, first week in August. Get your initiation fees in now, sign up, and remember, for the first 300 players, you'll get a free personalized Steve Bozell golf ball. The golf ball that he should have found, but didn't because it was hit by someone else, but he eventually did, he's pretty sure. That's the Steve Bozell, well, you know.
Yes, they've got it.
Hi, folks, this is Jack I. Gagner for the Phil Hendry Show website. Get a backstage pass of a month or a year, and you'll be accessing 30,000 hours of some of the greatest radio shows you ever heard, plus the modern-day podcast, and coming very soon now, the Miami years. That's right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, loading it up. And when you're not listening to those archives, of course, you can listen to, well, you can listen to classic podcasts, as well as watch the home movies, as well as, well, join other BSPs in the chat on Friday night, or watch the live streaming show on Sunday night. There's lots there, and lots more at the Phil Hendry Show website. That's the Phil Hendry Show website. Get your BSP now.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show for the El Pacifico here in Southern California. Taking a bath, man. Taking a bath is Bobby Dooley at Western States Homeowners Association.
Bobby, we've caught you again in the bathtub, and I feel a little bad about that.
You know, it's all right. Again, it's just been one of those days. Our summer-tacular just ended. This was the most wonderful summer-tacular that we've had. Lasted for 3 weeks. We raised an awful lot of money for our teen fashion shows, the Teen Off, and other...
What is the Teen Off?
Well, the Teen Off is a weight loss competition. We call it Teen Off 2017, where the teens go against each other and they lose the weight and everything like that.
So it has been, though, a very, very busy summer for you so far. Talking about your favorite saying, which is a word out of place, can be the difference between saving face or a disgrace. Where did that come from?
Well, I knew that you were going to be talking with Ted Bell this evening about... his slogan. I'll reserve judgment on that. I don't want to get into a big thing about it, but we knew that you would be talking to Ted, and even though he's very proud of that, we want to put our meat in your mouth. You know the one, Steve?
Yeah, I know about it.
Steve's here too, Phil.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, Miss Henry.
He wanted to, you know, do his best with that, but for instance, in our house, and I was talking to Bud Dickman earlier.
Yeah, talk about bolognese.
Right. At our house, if the boys want a bologna sandwich, they say, Mom, are you making bolognese? Or can I get a bolognese? We don't say bologna sandwich. The reason is we think that it leaves too much to interpretation. If you say, I want a bologna sandwich, are you talking about you want someone to lie to you? Are you talking about...
Oh, come on, Ms. Dooley, it can't be that complicated.
It can very well be complicated. A bologna sandwich indicates an awful lot. A bologna sandwich can be someone who is lying. A bologna sandwich can be a series of communiques. It may have nothing to do with food.
Yeah, a lot of guys will tell you a bologna sandwich.
Don't yell in the phone.
All right, bologna sandwich is a military communique.
I was in the military most of my life. I never heard of a bologna sandwich being code for a military communique.
Were you in the Marines?
Oh, I see. So it was a Marine Corps term.
That's my understanding.
Well, I don't believe it. However, if it were true, that would make plenty of sense.
Uh-huh.
Jeez.
So we decided to use bolognese, or, Mom, are you making a bologna? For my way of thinking, Phil, when you use the right word and it's not out of place, you save face and you're not a disgrace.
Mom, are you making a bologna?
Yes.
And that is what?
That is, therefore, a phrase. You're saying, Mom, are you making a bologna? Meaning, are you making a joke?
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? I just got done explaining. When the boys want a bologna sandwich, they say, can you make some bolognese? Or can I have a bolognese?
What do you mean, can I have a bologna?
No, bolognese.
Yeah, it's more than one slice.
There's more than one slice.
Yeah. If they say, Mom, are you making a bologna? I'll say, okay, you got me.
Yeah, she made a joke.
Because I made a joke.
All right, so why... Okay, I mean, that's...
What?
That's fine, I guess. So bologna doesn't mean bologna.
No, bolognese means bologna. Bolognese is bologna sandwich. Bologna...
Yeah, bologna's a lie or a bad joke.
Yeah. You're full of bologna, you're full of lies, or you made a bologna. You know?
So there's never a time when that is bologna.
No, bologna is bologna. Bologna.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah, it's your bologna. Okay.
Oh, so everybody understands?
Yeah, but don't you, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, what's with you?
Let me tell you something.
Well, I don't understand.
Mr. Henry, you just went, let me tell you something.
I don't understand. I'll tell you that bologna...
I never heard the word bologna.
Bologna, it's bologna.
Is the lunch meat?
Yeah.
Mr. Andy, is the lunch meat? Well, you really get off on that, don't you?
Phil, I'm not getting off on anything other than I will be getting off on hanging up on you. So what we have here.
Oh my God.
No, that's not fair, Mr. Henry.
What we have here is a family, the Dooley family, who have told us that when you use the right word, balonies.
He's laughing again.
Mr. Henry, you know, it's terrible of you to do that to my wife.
Give me some hot water, will you, for Christ's sake?
Yeah.
See, I knew that was coming. Folks, it's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to be with you here today. World-famous Phil Henry Show, executive producer.
What happened?
They're gone, man. They're long gone, man. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast 1.
I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm General Galen Shaw. Jesus.